Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 1 p.m. that is Pacific Standard, summertime, and today is March 18th. I thought we'd kick off and look at volatility because the VIX index is still very elevated. It's still around the 80-point level, but it was off its highs and it hasn't really moved a lot in the last three sessions. I think that's important because the higher the volatility measure goes, the more difficult it is for it to sustain high levels. And we're not going to see a bottom come into the market until we have clear evidence of a peak in the VIX index. Now, one of the more important points right now is that the volatility in the fixed income market is also rising. And the MOVE index is around 124. It hasn't been updated for a while, but it was updated about an hour ago for today. Now, it contracted a bit yesterday. It's starting to move a bit higher now, but the bigger picture is that it has risen substantially since January. Now, if we go back and look at some history, we can't go back as far as the kind of history we have for the VIX index. We can see that it had been on a downward slope since 2008. Now that has clearly been broken. A point I've been making for a number of years is that when it comes to creating a quantitative strategy, you can come up with any way of selecting what to invest in that you may wish. But there is only a very, very limited number of ways in which you can decide how much to buy. And volatility plays an extremely important role in that. So the fact that both volatility on bonds and equities is rising at the same time is having a significant knock-on effect for quantitative strategies. That is particularly true of risk parity. Risk parity looks at the volatility in bonds, looks at the volatility in equities. Then it bets on the fact that they have an inverse correlation so that when equities rise, bonds fall and vice versa. So that by measuring the volatility in one versus the other, then you can create a leverage strategy that takes advantage of the inverse correlation. Unfortunately, right now, volatility is rising, so risk parity strategies necessarily have to reduce the size of their positions. And because they are extremely levered, then that represents a very, very significant margin call on their strategies. But it's not simply that volatility is rising, but also the inverse correlation between bonds and equities has broken down over the course of the last week. So the S&P 500 is still falling, and it was down another 190 points today, although it did finish off the lows. And the 10-year Treasury future was also in negative territory today. So we're seeing that bonds and equities are falling together. That is also puncturing a hole or creating a hole in the risk parity strategy. So they're losing on volatility and they're also losing on the breakdown on the inverse correlation between bonds and equities. And when you are as leveraged as they are, that represents a very significant problem. So they're starved for liquidity. And banks have no interest in lending to a strategy that's failing. So this is having a significant knock-on effect in terms of market liquidity. And because these strategies are unwinding their positions in a very abrupt manner, then it's creating a very significant demand for dollars. So the dollar index has rallied from 95 to 102 in the space of about 10 sessions. And this is a very significant rebound for the US dollar. It is now trading back above 100 on the dollar index. And we haven't seen it trade at these levels since 2016. But it's a very acute reversal of the condition we had last week. What it is almost reminiscent of is when the tide gets pulled out during a tsunami, only for the large wave to then crash on the shore. Because the dollar had been pulling back in late February because of the unwinding of carry trades. Then we've had this massive shortage of dollars in the money markets because of the unwinding of the risk parity strategies and the quantitative strategies. And that has unleashed massive demand for dollars everywhere. Now, the swap lines that have been agreed by the Federal Reserve and the G7, well, they don't include Australia, for example. Well, the Australian dollar is pulling back in a very aggressive manner, and it was down another 2 cents in here today. Now, one thing that we can certainly say is that we have a lot of accelerating trends right now, and there are significant short positions, and we know that there are going to be funds that are under extraordinary duress. So it is reasonable to conclude that we are going to see at least one or two of these extremely large quantitative hedge funds blow up. The parallels that we have today between the late 1990s with the failure of long-term capital management and 2008 with the failure of Lehman Brothers and the kinds of conditions we have today are really quite acute. So there is the potential here that some one of these big funds is under extreme pressure. That has created a massive margin call, which has resulted in a lot of stops being hit and a lot of positions being closed. Now we are starting to see the Federal Reserve moving in to support the commercial paper market. We're looking at a range of different supports coming into the market, and there is the clear potential that they are going to extend the availability of borrowing at the discount window to more counterparties. One of the things that was announced in the last couple of days was that they were going to lower the threshold for what would be accepted as collateral, and they will even accept equity. So that's certainly something that is going to help to stoke investor interest. But then there is the other point that we're probably going to see some form of bailout for these funds because the one lesson that all of the monetary and fiscal authorities learned in 2008 was that letting Lehman Brothers go bust was a mistake. That's also, I think, part of the reason why there is a clear motivation to try and extend money directly to individuals, because the last thing any administration wants to highlight is that they are bailing out billionaires who have been the biggest beneficiaries from quantitative easing. So that is, I think, where we are in the market right now. We've seen a very significant number of accelerating trends. The excuse me, the Norwegian crown has accelerated lower, but it is also well off its lows in here today. Now, when we look at the Nasdaq 100, it was off its lows as well. So one thing is that we haven't seen a close below 7,000 for 3 days. When we look at the Dow Jones, it has come right down to the psychological 20,000 level, and it looks like it is steadying in here. So there is, I think, an increasing potential we're going to see a rebound, and not least because of the quantity of money that is getting thrown at this problem. Of course, the spread of the coronavirus didn't just evaporate today. It's still a very significant factor. We're seeing that the number of cases is now accelerating in countries like Malaysia and Indonesia. So this contention that people have been so swift to draw that the coronavirus would be limited to temperate zones, that doesn't seem to hold water. What that suggests is that this is going to be a global phenomenon, that the reporting of the spread has been curtailed by the lack of testing in less developed countries. And I think that is one of the more significant issues. So when we think about what is likely here, it's very likely that we are going to have a recession. The yield curve spread had spent most of last year in negative territory. It is now cruising through, well, it cruised through 50 basis points earlier this week. It is now above 1%. And that is about the clearest signal we can get that we're on the front end of a recession. One thing that I'm rather acutely aware of is the number of people I've had conversations with in the last 3 or 4 days that are talking about buying the dip. And I think that we have not seen the kind of disappointment occur yet for investors that is consistent with a medium-term low. There are still a lot of people who still want to buy and pick up bargains in here. What that, I think, suggests is that we are probably going to still get bouts of volatility. The potential here is that we've got a very deep oversold condition. But the other point is that when, for example, the pound pulls back by nearly 5% in a day and by approximately 10% over the course of just 1 week, then that is going to massively increase the competitiveness of the economy. And when we look at valuations, for example, the FTSE 100 might be down in excess of 3%, but its forward PE is 12 and its dividend yield is nearly 7%. So we know that there has been a lot of selling pressure and we've had incredibly accelerated declines. The psychological 5,000 level has held now for 3 days. We can also see that there is no consolidation within the course of the downtrend from late February that has persisted for more than 5 days. So if it can just simply go sideways for a while and then break upwards, well, then we'll have confirmation that we have a low of more than very short-term significance. I think it is important to, though, bear in mind that the reason we've had such accelerated declines has been because of a small number of very large funds coming under extraordinary duress. That is one of the factors in the speeds of the declines. It's less about how much of the negative connotations of the coronavirus have been priced in. The coronavirus is still going to be a medium-term hurdle over which investors are going to have to jump and come up with a reasonable valuation. But we are starting to see that companies that have got reasonably good business models have pulled back in extraordinarily violent ways. CarMax, for example, is down about half. I was talking with my daughter yesterday, and she saw, we were looking at charts together, and she saw that a number of charts had fallen by 50%, and she said that this is the Thanos crash. Thanos being one of the Marvel characters from the Avengers movies, where he has this gauntlet and he snaps his fingers and eradicates half the universe's population. Well, we've seen enough of that over the last few days where a number of shares have halved in value. Now, what needs to be parsed and figured out by investors is how much of that was because of leveraged funds like Millennium and Bridgewater coming under extraordinary pressure, and how much was because of other investors selling. And how much of it is really a reaction to the coronavirus? Well, all of these kinds of questions, they amount to the big question, which is, has anything really changed? Well, I think one thing is that we are on the cusp of a recession, and the coronavirus is something new, and it is likely to be a headwind for a while. But the other side of it is that we have been in a bull market for a decade, and we've already had a very significant pullback, so there is value accruing somewhere. It is only a matter of time before we start to see clear basing formations. Now, we may have a short, sharp rally. The market could rally faster and farther than we've seen in a while, and then subsequently we could get a pullback. The question is then, will the lows hold? I think we're increasingly close to at least an unwinding of short-term oversold conditions. When the price is more than 50% overextended relative to the trend mean, we have to conclude that a lot of bad news has already been priced in. And we've seen significant retracements. The reality, however, though, is the semiconductors index hasn't pulled back by really that much. It's back to the lows put in the middle of 2019. We also have a short-term oversold condition here, and it is off the lows in here today, but we still have the sequence of lower rally highs. The problem is that we are on the cusp of a recession, so betting that we're going to have a quick resumption of the uptrend is probably too much to hope for, that we are likely to have a rebound and then subsequently a retest of the low. And how well that low holds, I think, will be the clearest evidence we can have that this downtrend is in fact over. And so far, we're still in early days there. Oil prices also continue to contract. I thought it was rather interesting that the oil price is now coming back down into levels we haven't seen in nearly a decade, and this is a very significant drawdown. But I think it's also worth remembering that Brent crude is not the only kind of pricing metric. West Canadian Select is at a new low and now trading around $9. When I looked at it earlier on today, it was about 750, and this is an incredibly accelerated decline, moving from 60 to 9 in the space of approximately 1 year is a pretty incredible phenomenon. And certainly we are going to see that some producers in the oil sector go bust. The kind of move we've had in the high yield sector over the course of the last few months, it is certainly suggesting that there are issues in the credit market that are going to be explored on the downside. The HYG ETF broke on the downside in here today and looks likely that it is going to continue to experience selling pressure. So we are in a bear market. There is likely to continue to be a raft of stimulative measures to support the economy and get it through the coronavirus question. The big picture here, however, is that 10-year yields are marching higher. The stimulative measures that are being deployed in Europe are putting upward pressure on government bond yields just about everywhere. The ECB is having an emergency meeting in here today. They are starting to buy Italian bonds to try and compress the yield. But what they are also starting to talk about is issuing pan-European bonds. So that is now starting to put pressure on German yields. And I think it is quite likely that we're going to see the clear exploring of the idea that Europe is going to start issuing pan-European bonds. It's going to start absorbing the debt of the peripheral countries because they have no choice but to stimulate when they are being faced with the kind of economic threat that the coronavirus represents. This could, in fact, be the catalyst for a United States of Europe. And it will be on a needs-must basis rather than anyone voting for it in particular. But it does suggest that we're going to see higher yields in government bonds. There is this is obviously going to have a clear impact where we have bonds and equities moving in the same direction at the same time. Then that is having an impact on a lot of portfolios. But obviously we are likely to see, even in a bear market scenario, is that there are powerful counter trend rallies. I think we are increasingly due one of those. And then the I think what we're likely to see, and we're I think really now only at the dawn of, is the differentiation between where value resides and where the continued contraction in leverage is going to hit hardest. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.